And if you would please take your Bibles and turn back to the gospel lesson that I read just a few moments ago, taken from Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter, the story of Jesus' encounter with the blind man. Now, just by way of reminder, today's sermon is number 3 in a 6-week series on evangelism. I've been preaching about evangelism these last few weeks. I just want to remind us that evangelism doesn't need to be a very intimidating word at all. What it is simply living and sharing the good news of God and God's love through Christ. And we've been talking about this in terms of what we're calling the Jesus mission. As followers of Jesus, we're all called to join Christ in his mission in the world. And if you remember from the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of zeroing in on three kind of essential components of the Jesus mission. The first one, and these all start with R, so they're a little bit easier to remember. The first one is to reach people who don't know the grace of God in Jesus, those who are disconnected or estranged from God. That's the first part of the Jesus mission, to reach and reach out to those. The second part is to restore the world to be more like the place God intended it to be from the beginning, a place characterized by justice, a place characterized by mercy, a place of hope, a place of loving, not warring communities, a place where every single human life can flourish. And the third component of the Jesus mission is to reproduce this very mission of reaching and restoring in more and more followers of Christ, to have it be lived out in more and more of our lives. You recall from last week I said that the Jesus mission is really intended to bless the world. And the biblical mandate for this goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, to God's covenant with Abraham, where in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God says, "I will bless you, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." And we pick up on that covenant given to Abraham as expressed through Christ and his followers to fulfill the Jesus mission, to reach, to restore, and to reproduce. And that's all that it means to be a blessing in the world, but it's a big call, a big mission. And so we have been challenging one another to live out 5 basic practices as to how to be a blessing. And conveniently, these 5 practices form the acronym BLESS. I mean, how great is that, right? It's so easy to, if we're to bless the world, well, how do we do it? Think of the word bless. And we looked at the first one last week. We focused on that first practice in this BLESS strategy, which is simply, does anyone remember it? If you do, say it out. Begin with prayer. Yeah. The Jesus mission has to always start with prayer. And we talked about a rather simple and sincere prayer that we can say every day that will help kind of direct our thinking and focus our intention for the day. If we just say to God, "God, how do you want me to bless the world today? How do you want me to bless the world today?" And then, keeping that prayer in mind, and as we go through our day, looking for opportunities to do just that, as we interact with whether it's students at our schools or neighbors in our neighborhood, co-workers at work, or, you know, even the barista at your local Starbucks. I heard a story about that at the table this last week. And so today I want to challenge us with the second letter of this BLESS strategy. We're going to begin with prayer. The second letter, L, stands for listening with care. It's kind of a fun rhyme, right? Begin with prayer, listen with care. That's not easy to do. And I chose the word challenged intentionally because, I mean, let's be honest, most of us would rather talk than listen, right? And even when we're not talking, A lot of the time we're thinking about what the other, not what the other person is saying, rather we're thinking about how we're going to respond to what the other person is saying. I think all of us struggle with this. So often we're not really listening closely to people. We're just kind of queuing up what we're going to say in response to them. All right, now, a little show of hands. How many of you have ever been in a conversation where you just knew the other person wasn't really listening to you? There were nonverbal cues. There were all sorts of ways that you knew. A couple of you are pointing to your spouses, okay? Yeah, how many of us have been in those kind of conversations, right? But we need to hear this morning, listening with care to others is crucial. It's a critical practice in order to engage faithfully in the Jesus mission. And Jesus modeled what it meant to listen with care throughout his earthly ministry. And that brings us to the text this morning, to Luke chapter 18. You heard in the text that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to celebrate the Passover, which will take place right before his crucifixion. And he's going through the city of Jericho. Now Jesus, whose reputation as a great teacher and a miracle worker was well known, is doing what many rabbis of his day did. As he was walking along, as he was making this journey, he was teaching. And so Jesus, as he's going up to Jerusalem and going through Jericho, he's surrounded by these other Jewish pilgrims. And they're hanging on his every word. And because of that, he's creating quite a stir with this group and the pilgrims that are heading up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now there's this blind man in Jericho, and he hears all the commotion, and he wants to find out what it's about. And he's told it's because Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And when he hears that, and so here's where you know that the reputation of Jesus has gone before him, he shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David," a title which signifies the Messiahship of Jesus. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those that were kind of leading the procession, they tell him to be quiet. They rebuke him, Luke says. But the text says he shouted all the more. Interesting little side note. The Greek word used in verse 38 that is translated in the NIV, "he called out," is a verb that sort of describes a loud cry to get one's attention. But in verse 39, Luke uses a different word. It's a more forceful word. It's describing a cry of a deep emotion, almost like a primal scream. There's a desperateness when he calls out again after he's been rebuked to be quiet. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When Luke uses that other word, it reveals the depth of the man's need, his desperateness to be heard. It got me to thinking that there are so many people today that are desperate to be heard. So many people have so few experiences of others truly listening to their pain, truly listening to their concerns, truly listening to their experiences with real compassion and with real care. Like the blind man, they need someone to bless them by truly listening to them. And when you learn to listen with care to others, to get beyond the surface, to go just a little bit deeper, to show some authentic compassion, when you do that, you are doing what Jesus did with this blind man. You bless this blind man. I want us to notice how Jesus listened with care in this short little story we have. First, you notice that Jesus noticed this man. You may say it was hard for him to avoid him, given that he was crying out so loudly, but the text says that he stopped, that Jesus stopped. To listen with care, we have to stop what we're doing and focus on the other person. You know, distracted listening is not really listening at all. It's certainly not listening with care. In that moment, the only person that mattered to Jesus was the blind man. Not the crowds who had been hanging on Jesus' every word. Not his apostles, who Jesus knew would be devastated by his upcoming execution. Not even Jesus' own agenda to prepare for the Passover as prelude to the cross. At this time, in this moment, the only one that mattered to Jesus was the blind man. He stopped and he listened. Now he teaches us, Jesus does again, what it means to listen with care by what happens next in the text. I hope several of you have your Bibles open to Luke 18. Look in the latter part of verse 40. Luke begins that verse, when he, the blind man, came near. What does the text say? Someone read the latter part of verse 40 through 41.
When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied.
Thank you, Olga. This is remarkable, and we need to make note of this. Jesus did not assume he knew what the blind man wanted. I mean, he could tell he was blind. He had to be brought to Jesus. But he did not assume that he knew what was best for him. Jesus valued the blind man, a beggar, by taking him seriously. And he did that simply by asking a sincere question and listening for the blind man's response. What do you want me to do for you? You know, it's easy for us to assume we know another person's experience because most of us tend to approach others from our own frame of reference and our own personal experience. But part of what it means to listen with care is to be open to learning about the culture or individual experiences that have shaped another person. And you don't get that without asking questions and listening with intent and paying attention. Now, I know for almost all of us here, one such culture that many of us find challenging to connect with, much less listen with care to, is youth culture, right? Any nods? A few, maybe. Today's teens, I think they're called, you know, they're not millennials anymore. If you were born in the 2000s, you're beyond the millennial generation. You are now Generation Z. They're the ones that are teenagers today. And I've asked, where's Desi? I've asked our youth minister, Desiree, to help us understand some things about today's teens so that all of us can learn to listen just a little bit better. All right, Desi.
Hi.
Hi. So, Desi, can you tell us some of the key characteristics? Desi's a millennial and ministering to Generation Z. So, can you tell us some of the characteristics of today's teenagers, this Generation Z?
Yeah. So, Generation Z, born in the 2000s, are the most multicultural generation in the United States. So multicultural, there's a rise of biracial children, and that's something new in the United States. So multicultural, Generation Z will not will be so comfortable, is already so comfortable with diversity on all levels, they really only notice diversity when it's not represented. They are most uncomfortable in mono-ethnic situations. They're marked by a disappearing childhood. Teens today are expected to uphold adult schedules, understand adult things at a younger and younger and younger age. These are expectations that the world puts on them. They are known as digital natives. They are born into this world of Wi-Fi enabledness. They don't know a world before LG, before Wi-Fi enabledness, and so they've got the world in the back of their pocket, and they engage with that very regularly. 92% of teens report going online daily. That's not surprising. 25% of teens report going online almost constantly, and 91% of teens go to bed with their devices, the resulting truth being that our teens are learning to do life in such a way that they're self-directed, self-guided, independent. And they go through so much information. Our teens learn to evaluate information in 8 seconds. They've got so much of it. They're like, I've got 8 seconds and we're moving on. 8 seconds and we're moving on. This is part of their world. And speaking of that as well, in technology, social media is a big thing for our teens. And this is like social engagement as primary nature through social media. We're talking Facebook is maybe less now, but we're talking Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter. All these are ways that our teens are learning to engage in social relationships. And they're raised a lot by people that we're qualifying as the nuns, and that's not N-U-N-S, it's N-O-N-E-S, the nuns. A group of people who, if they were given a survey and asked what religion do you identify with, they would check the box, none. These are many of the people who are raising Generation Z. So these are all kind of important characteristics of the general youth culture.
So Desi, in light of these, just very briefly, how can adult followers of Christ listen well to today's teens?
That's a great question. And I want to start by saying that as a youth pastor, I consider myself an advocate, but the best voice to talk about youth is youth. So definitely engage. That's the first thing. Acknowledging that resulting truth I mentioned before about independence and self-guidedness, but teens may not realize how much they crave leadership, how much they crave mentorship. So if a teen acts disengaged, don't consider that a write-off. It may just mean that they haven't realized how much they need your relationship. So enter in, engage.
So there's a repetition there.
There is a repetition there, absolutely. And don't forget the 8-second rule. You have about 8 seconds to make an impression on a teenager. Use that wisely. Use that 8 seconds well. Or they may have moved on. They may have evaluated you at that point and moved on. This speaks deeply to the aspect of authenticity. When you approach a teenager and when you talk to them, don't just ask, how are you doing? Maybe ask upon something you already know about them to engage authentically with a teenager. And be aware, again, of that social media aspect of engaging in peer relationships. What happens with a teenager when they engage in social media is a lot of the time their entire self-concept becomes determined by likes and who said what on what post. And so there's a deep need for affirmation. There's a deep need for acceptance. And be aware of that when you engage in authentic relationship with our teenagers.
So in the last minute, I know you could talk for a while on this, but in just 1 minute, briefly, what are some strategies we can adopt as a congregation?
Yeah, very briefly. There's a book out there called Growing Young. It's written by a group of people from Fuller Youth Institute. Wonderful people. And this is not a one-size-fits-all solution to engaging young people in your church. But it is a way. It's a good starting point. And they've got six bullet points or six strategies that they encourage churches to use. One being empowering young people by giving them leadership opportunities, empathizing with youth and young people, welcoming them into a Jesus-centered relationship. This is part of the authenticity piece, not just asserting formulaic gospel claims, but actually what does it look like to walk with Jesus? Fueling a warm intergenerational community. We're focusing a lot on intergenerationalness this year, and I love that. Five, look for creative ways to tangibly involve them of all aspects, all facets of church and community life. And then just be good neighbors. Don't shut out the world outside your doors. Don't shut out the world outside the doors of the church, but engage with it. Continue learning about contemporary culture.
Wonderful. Desi, thank you. And as you can tell, Desi would enjoy sharing more about that with you, so I encourage you to talk with her later today during coffee hour or whatever. But it's just another example of what it means to listen well and to bless others by listening with care. That's critical to the Jesus mission. You know, Jesus heard that one man's voice, and he heard it above the din of all the noise around him, of the huge crowd, of his own agenda that was playing on his heart and his mind. And each one of us come in contact with people each and every day who nobody cares about and no one listens to. And so what a great thing that we can do. What a great way to bless others, to begin to build bridges so that we can share the love of God as we get to know them through listening with care. So I want to challenge us this week as we pray the prayer, God, how do you want me to bless the world today? Maybe add this one line. Help me to listen to others with care. And then see what the Spirit does as you begin to do that in your daily walk with God. We're going to go to a time of prayer now, and we're going to begin. And I'm going to begin by just asking you to look in your bulletin. There's a little helpful insert about what it looks like to listen with care. Take a few moments as you prayerfully read this and reflect on it. You may want to write. There's an opportunity to write about what you're learning through that. And just take this time to pray about how you can listen better with care. We're also going to offer up an opportunity for, if you have a prayer need during this time, we're going to ask the deacons who are present to one to go to each corner. And if you would like to pray with one of our deacons during this time, you're invited to do that. I can assure you, each of our deacons will listen with care as you bring your requests to them. So let's spend a few moments in prayer together as we let the Holy Spirit bring this word home and into our